Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1837. The topic is nutrition and the title is Sodium, Good or Bad? We had a fellow listener and trainer send in a question. I thought it was awesome. I love this kind of stuff. So they wrote, sodium. Do you need it? Can it boost performance? Can you properly hydrate without it? Have doctors villainized it? Should I fear it? Can you lose body fat while consuming it? Awesome. So we're going to go through all those questions. So we're going to be talking about sodium, hence the title. But we're going to go through all of that, talk about whether we should be kind of paying attention to that as an additional supplement into our daily diet, who would need to, who would not need to, you know, should we fear sodium, is it actually helpful? There's a lot of different things that you'll hear. So let's get into it. The first question I want to approach is both two questions. Have doctors villainized it and should I fear it? Doctors deal with general population and disease prevention. For people who don't exercise regularly, they struggle with being overweight or obese, and are at a high risk of blood pressure issues, which is pretty much who doctors see all the time. Sodium is probably good advice, like avoiding sodium or keeping sodium low, is probably good advice from a doctor. And it would be the most common reason why people would be fearful of taking high sodium in their foods, is if they don't exercise regularly, they struggle with being overweight, and that makes them high risk of blood pressure. So doctors typically tell people to limit sodium intake in the sense that they're not an elite athlete and they're obese and or overweight. So doctors' advice is more specific to the more sedentary, unhealthy population. So that's why the advice is structured in that way. It would be nice if the advice from doctors was kind of case by case dependent or explained as to who it pertains to. But often health advice isn't specific, and it often has limitations and challenges of whether it could be. Like a podcast aimed at a broad population, doctors' advice is consumed by individuals but often given in a broad population manner. So consuming less sodium in general for most sedentary overweight people is good advice. But like broad population advice, it may not be person by person the best advice. So for example, it's recommended that we eat high fiber diets. However, that is not great for a person with gastroparesis, which is slowed digestion. I had a bodybuilder client recently who was struggling to gain muscle mass. He was leaner than he needed to be and was just struggling and struggling and struggling in the off season to try to gain muscle. He would eat, but he'd feel bloated all day. He had multiple bowel movements every single day, and he just felt absolutely miserable trying to get in more food. I talked to him, we looked at his food, and I was looking at fiber, and I was like, dude, you're consuming almost 80 grams of fiber a day. Why don't we bring that down? And he's like, well, I thought I needed fiber to help me digest all this food. And I said, well, there are other ways to help you digest all this food. Why don't we bring the fiber down? And what was interesting was I actually have gastroparesis, so I was heightened awareness of it. We brought his fiber down, and all of a sudden, he's feeling freaking great. He's eating way more food, no bloat, normal, you know, bathroom frequencies. He is just absolutely loving it because he's finally not absolutely miserable trying to do the thing that he loves. So a high fiber diet is generally good advice, but it was not good advice on this individual case. You know, we also hear that it's good advice to eat a variety of fruits and vegetables. I had a client recently who we found was having digestive stress and issues from consuming raw vegetables. So we found out that we had to at least lightly cook all the vegetables they would eat. And citrus fruits would make them break out in a rash. So if they ate raw vegetables, they would have a lot of gas and bloating, and they would have a lot of eczema on their face. And then if they ate citrus fruits, they would actually have rashes break out on their face. So it took a while, because that's not stuff you normally think of. But it took a while, but we figured it out. And we had to get rid of raw vegetables and citrus fruits. And now, no issues whatsoever. So the advice of eating a variety of fruits and vegetables is a generally good advice. But in this specific case, it was not. So doctor's advice is for the general population and for disease prevention. Their advice is not for the athletic population, most often, and definitely not for aesthetics. 100% doctor's advice will not be for aesthetics. I have my master's in nutrition, and when I was going through the courses, I went to school. I have my undergrad in health and phys ed. I was a personal trainer when I was 16, 17, started doing it for money at 18, but that wasn't a career option where I grew up and when I grew up, so I'm almost 40. No one thought of personal training as like a career where I grew up. So it was something I was doing for side money, but what was I going to do for a job? And I didn't know, so I went to school for physical therapy, realized that was just babysitting athletes, and I was like, well, that's crap. Athletic training. I had, you know, at 17 years old, you think athletic training is training athletes, and no, it was just taking care of their wounds and listen to them whine and complain. So it wasn't what I wanted to do. So I switched to health and phys ed, and I then graduated with that and realized, okay, I love teaching the kids. Teaching is super fun. Don't like all the paperwork. Don't like all the parents. But I love the teaching. So I got an offer to go to do grad school where I could do my master's in nutrition and be a graduate assistant and teach. So I did my master's in nutrition, actually ended up staying and teaching at the university for 7.5 years. So I really loved the teaching part of it. But while I was doing my master's in nutrition, it was all health nutrition. There was only one sport performance nutrition class, 1 3-credit class in the entire program. So sad. And then there were zero classes on aesthetic nutrition. That's actually what I loved the most, is how to eat to look a certain way. Because when I was younger, I was skinny fat, 6 foot tall, 165, and pudgy as hell. I've been able to gain a lot of muscle mass, so I'm still 6 foot tall. But I now weigh 270, how much do I weigh now? Like 270, 280, somewhere near. I haven't weighed myself recently. But somewhere between 270, 280, and I have a lower body fat percentage than I did at 165, which is absolutely insane. So I love nutrition for aesthetics. I love nutrition for performance. And that's actually what I thought the program was going to help me learn more about, and it did not. I actually had two of my professors as clients when I graduated, and a couple of my classmates actually became clients after we finished. So they realized that they didn't get to learn what they thought they would learn either. So I ended up, they ended up hiring me, and I was teaching them. So it was super fun to be able to grow what I knew outside of class, but I was definitely disappointed that the class work didn't help with performance nutrition or aesthetic nutrition. But that's why doctor's advice, and even, you know, nutritionists' advice, registered dietitians, their advice is often focused on the general population and for general health, not for performance and not for aesthetics. So, have doctors villainized it? I don't think they would have intended to. I think for the population that they talk to most often, the advice of keeping sodium low is probably good advice. Should you fear sodium? Really, the main reason why we would fear it is if we think it's going to raise our blood pressure. So you can get a blood pressure cuff like for at home off Amazon for like $30. I have one. So you can get it really cheap. You would take your blood pressure, eat a high sodium meal, then take your blood pressure again, see if it's super elevated, and then later in the day, take your blood pressure, eat a low sodium meal, check your blood pressure afterwards, see if it's elevated, and just see how your body responds to high sodium intake. And if it doesn't respond, like you don't get a big jump, then you're probably fine. You don't need to worry about it. So the main concern with sodium is if it raises your blood pressure after consumption. So if you just check that with a blood pressure cuff, then you'll know and you're good to go. The last statistic I read said that around 46% of the population is sodium sensitive for blood pressure. So if we, you know, round that up to 50%, it's about half. So you might be in the half that's sensitive, you might be in the half that's not. It might be worth checking that out. Okay, now the next question we're going to look at is sodium. Do you need it? Typically, most people don't need to add sodium to their foods for normal health and performance. However, for activities that cause excessive sweating, supplementing with sodium can be helpful to limit dehydration impact on performance. Think of long-distance runners. If somebody's going to go out and run half a marathon, probably supplementing with sodium would be a pretty good idea because they're going to be sweating along that run. Now, what about people who train with weights, like bodybuilders, powerlifters, or like somebody who just recreationally lifts weights, and we're looking at short bursts of activities, like your sets are less than a minute long, your rest periods are probably 2 minutes or greater. If you eat whole foods with a normal kind of macronutrient balance, meaning you're eating, let's say, you know, 20 to 33% protein, and then the rest of your calories are kind of roughly split half between fats and carbs, or maybe they favor more carbs than fats. That would be kind of like a normal macronutrient balance. So if you're consuming a normal amount of food, maybe, you know, even if you're in a deficit, but it's an appropriate deficit, and you have a normal macronutrient balance, and you drink a normal fluid intake, you really wouldn't need a sodium supplement. However, if you eat low carbs, or you don't consume a lot of fluid, so how much fluid should you consume? Roughly about half your body weight in ounces a day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you should drink about 100 ounces of fluid a day. And that's like a minimum. You can actually drink above that. That would be great. But if you're thinking of like, how do I know? You know, what's a good amount? Half your body weight in ounces of fluid a day is roughly good. You know, that's at least like good enough. And then continue to add on that if you can, especially if you're an athlete and especially if you're lifting weights and being more active. But half your body weight in ounces of fluid a day would be great. So if you're under that, or you're eating low carbs, or you're in a major deficit for some reason, maybe you're getting ready for like a contest, you're like a contest prep kind of situation, then playing with sodium supplementation absolutely can be helpful. I would try it. I would give it a go. If you have never tried it and you're interested, then go for it. Again, like I said, make sure you check your blood pressure so that way you know if you're sensitive or not. And then you want to take the sodium supplement before the workout with carbohydrates, with fluid. And what you want to pay attention to during the workout is how thirsty am I during the workout? We shouldn't be crazy thirsty. We should just be sipping on a little bit of fluid here or there, but we're feeling good. How quickly and how much do I sweat? We shouldn't dump all of our sweat out in the first 5 to 10 minutes. That would typically mean that you might not be hydrated well enough or have enough sodium or enough carbohydrates in your system. So the sweat should be kind of like an even kind of increase over the first 30, you know, minutes or so of the workout. And then if you wanted to get into the nitty-gritty of it, you could track your weight change during the workout. You shouldn't lose a lot of weight in your workouts if you're appropriately supplementing with sodium and carbohydrates and water. So in elite athletes, it's not uncommon at all when you're talking about professional athletes for them to be weighed before and after their training, and then to have replenishment drinks made for them based on the amount of weight that they would have lost. So think about like football. Somebody's doing two-a-days and they're out in the hot sun for two and a half hours in the morning. They're going to absolutely need to replenish electrolytes, a lot of fluids, a lot of sodium, before they're then going to go back out in the afternoon for another two and a half hours. So it depends on what level of activity you're at. But if you're high level of activity, this is going to be ultra important. There are people who make an insane amount of good money being nutritionists for athletes, and they would do things like this, such as weigh them and then know, okay, for every, you know, pound of weight lost, there's X amount of sodium and X amount of the other electrolytes that they would put into a fluid drink with X amount of water. So there actually is like all those calculations. I know what they are, but they're all very boring, so we're going to skip them. But the idea is this is a real thing that people really do, and it depends on the intensity of the type of training that you do. So most intra-workout drinks, most pre-workout drinks contain some type of sodium, electrolyte, kind of hydration elements. So if you're already taking an intra-workout drink or pre-workout drink, you would want to check and see if it already has some sodium in it. But if you want to add sodium, one of the cheapest ways to do it is through a company called NutriCost, and you can find them on Amazon. So the company name is NutriCost, NutriCost. They have sodium chloride tablets, 1,000 milligrams, 240 tablets for $13. NutriCost is actually a great company. They're very transparent with their ingredients and products. It's just not like super sexy because they don't run a bunch of ads. They're not in, you know, all the sports magazines, and you know, there's not, you know, half naked men and women on the cover of their products. But NutriCost is actually one of the two companies I use the most often. NutriCost actually is probably who I buy the most supplements from. They're incredibly cheap, but they're very well dosed. They do everything you need. So NutriCost sodium chloride, 1,000 milligram tabs, 240 tablets for $13. Really good. And you would just add, you could play with like adding one tablet in your intra-workout drink, see how you feel. Like we said, check your thirstiness, if that's a word. Check your sweat, rate of sweat and how much you sweat. And then just kind of play around with adding more if you feel like it could be beneficial for you. So, sodium, do you need it? Typically, if you're eating a normal type of macronutrient balance, you're eating normal amount of food and you're drinking that normal amount of fluid, again, which is half your body weight in ounces of fluid a day, you're probably not going to need to add sodium supplementation. But hey, you know, why not? If you want to check it, just check your blood pressure before and after taking sodium. Make sure you're not super sensitive to it, and then play with it. And a cheap way to do that would be NutriCost sodium chloride. Okay? Now, the next question is, can it boost performance? The lack of sodium can absolutely hinder performance. Absolutely. But additional loading above physiological normal amounts typically is not, like, you're not going to really have any positive effect. Once you put in as much as your body can use, anything on top of that is not gonna be helpful. So powerlifters, some people will talk about like sodium loading to help create bloat, which helps to better protect muscles and provide a tighter feeling in the main lifts. You'll hear them kind of say that. A better terminology would be, it's actually like carb loading. you have to have the carbohydrates and the sodium along with water. And that creates what's called glycogen, which is stored carbohydrates in our muscles. And the increase of hydration that brings will help increase hydration around the joints. So if you ever notice, if you have joints that pop and crack, they do so much more in the morning. Once you eat some food and get moving throughout the day and drink some fluids, they tend to crack a lot less. So when you're hydrated, you'll get less like joint cracking and stuff like that. Just interesting to know. But your joints are going to be more hydrated and kind of quote-unquote protected due to hydration by having a lot of carbohydrates and sodium leading into like a training session or a competition. And then having the muscles filled with glycogen is just great for not only available energy, but it's also going to help you feel fuller. Like you'll feel kind of thicker, bigger. You'll feel more powerful being carb loaded. So that could be something to look into if you're a powerlifter, making sure you're consuming enough carbohydrates, enough sodium to create the glycogen you want going into the workout or into the competition. And again, if you want to play with it, go for it. You know, it certainly wouldn't be a bad thing to try. So before your workouts, consume a high percentage of carbohydrates in your meal. And this would be best to be kind of like the meals, if you're having meals somewhere between 2 to 6 hours before the workouts, that would give you, you know, more time for the carbohydrates to be converted over to glycogen. But you would want to have high carbohydrate percentage meals leading into the training. And then you'd have good fluid intake. And then you could add salt to your foods to whatever taste tolerance you can enjoy. And then add like the salt supplement, like that salt tab, before the workout as well. Do your workout, see how it feels. If you feel freaking great, keep doing it. If you don't feel great, don't do it. Can you properly hydrate without sodium? Without sodium in general, no. you don't have to supplement with extra sodium. As we said, typically a good diet, even with a controlled deficit, will provide enough sodium for general hydration. If hydration is a concern, then make sure you have carbs in your meals, sodium in water, and then before, during, and after the workout in normal amounts. So just make sure you eat foods that have carbohydrates. Normal foods can actually have pretty decent sodium, so you're not going to need to actually add sodium to most foods. But if it's a fear of yours or if it's a concern of yours, go ahead and add some salt to your meals, whatever you can tolerate for taste. Make sure you're staying hydrated by drinking fluids then, enough water coming in with the carbs and sodium. Can you lose body fat while consuming sodium? Absolutely, 100%. Sodium has no calories. It will not have any negative impact whatsoever on fat loss. Zero. You may weigh more while consuming high amounts of sodium due to the water storage that's associated with glycogen. So when you eat carbohydrates, water, and sodium, your body stores the water and carbohydrates in the muscles. If you're not eating a lot of carbohydrates, it can't store that water in the muscles, and you'll weigh less. But the weight associated with increasing and decreasing amounts of sodium is not body fat. That's literally just water being stored or not stored in the body. So I regularly help athletes lose weight for competitions while consuming large amounts of sodium in their diet, like 4,000 milligrams plus a day. So the typical recommendation is 2,400 milligrams. But I have clients eat 4,000 plus, 5,000 plus, and we lose body fat all the time. No issues whatsoever. So it would absolutely not be a concern whatsoever for body fat loss. So overall, in today's podcast, I realized I didn't give any, like, I feel like I didn't give any sexy, fun answers. it's really just a kind of like, you got to try and see it. You know, like I try to only give advice based on what I've experienced in my training or what I've experienced with clients. I've had over 3,000 clients. I've been doing this for over 20 years. So I have a lot of experiential knowledge. I have a lot of formal knowledge, a lot of certifications, a lot of time spent in school and learning things. So, but I don't ever want to like play something up more than it is. I don't want to downplay it more than I should. It can be helpful. You know, if a person struggles with under-eating, if they struggle with under-hydration, like they don't get at least half their body weight in ounces of fluid a day, then adding a sodium supplement before activity can absolutely help. Really, it can. But you still want to check your blood pressure response. And I would more so encourage a person to fix the under-eating and fix the under-hydration than I would just, you know, slap a sodium pill in their face and call it good. You know, we want to fix the main issues, the deeper issues. But if you eat consistently, you drink consistently, and your normal food intake has a normal amount of carbohydrates in it, then I would say that you probably don't need to play around with sodium. However, if you want to, would it hurt anything? Probably not. Again, just check your blood pressure response. As long as you don't have a blood pressure response, why not play with it? You know, why not check and see if it's something that can give you a little bit of a boost? If it can make you feel a little better in your training, therefore you enjoy your workouts more, you get more change stimulus from the workouts, and maybe you get a little better results. So I hope I answered the questions. Maybe I didn't give it in the most fun way, but I do hope I answered the questions. I hope everybody enjoyed the information in today's podcast. And if you have any questions like this, anything you want to throw out there for me, I'll always happily make a podcast for you. I love this stuff. I love doing the podcast. That's why I've done it, you know, 1,837 times. Can't believe I've done 1,837 of these. Golly. But if you want anything covered, I'm happy to do it. I love doing it. just email me. My email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can always go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. And on the bottom of pretty much every page is a contact form, so you can send any questions you want there as well. Okay, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.